Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good morning again. Undefeated we were throughout the season. Hadn't been beaten. An awesome team. A wonderful team. There was teams that would come and try to knock us off our perch, but they couldn't. They couldn't beat us. And they tried to engulf us. However, they couldn't beat us. Undefeated we were. A great team. The greatest team that year. The under 13 South Barwon Leopards. Awesome we were. Awesome. Goal after goal we'd kick. But there was one team we feared. Not as skillful as us. Not as many big guns. Not as many big names in the under 13 South Barwon League as us. They were a team that got in and under. Scraggers. And the Cougars was their name. And they wanted to sweep us away from our premiership. The one that we deserve. They wanted to sweep us away with a wave of goals. And so it was on grand final day down in Geelong, September 1989. Big grand final was on. And we had a guy on our team. He was our gun player. Actually, he was our best player. He'd take speckies. He'd smash break packs. He'd kick goals. He'd tap it out of the ruck. He was the man. And a man he was. He looked like a 16-year-old in a 13-year-old body. Mate, he'd been shaving for 10 years. He had guns on. He had arms on him that made Gary Ablett's arms look like chicken arms. You see, with Barry, if you had Gary, would have dominated. But with Barry, the man child, mate, we were unstoppable. Awesome. And as much as people wanted to sweep away the premiership from us in a flood of goals, we had no fear when Barry, big bustling Barry, was playing with us. But on grand final day, big bustling Barry couldn't play the first half. You see, big bustling Barry went to one of the local private schools and he had to play for his private school, for his school. And at half time in the big premiership, we were 30 points down. And we were in big trouble. That's a lot of points in an under 13 game. That's like probably 100 points to today. We were in big trouble. Big trouble without Barry. And David, well, he was in trouble as well. He wrote this psalm, most think. And when he's writing it, he's looking back on Israel in a time of trouble. Maybe this psalm might have been sung by David and his men when they were remembering the threats of their arch enemy, not the Cougars, but the Philistines. See, there were a time when the Philistines, they nearly swallowed up this Jewish state and nearly swept them away in a torrent of flood and of waters. They would have swallowed us up alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us and the raging waters would have swept us away. And maybe they're recalling the time when the Philistines had killed Saul and his son Jonathan, and they were on the hunt for David and his men, maybe. You see, the first half of this psalm is about what might have happened if the Lord was not on their side. If the Lord had not been on their side, they would have been swallowed up alive, it says in verse 3, when their anger flared against us. It has that, again, these psalms over and over again as we've looked at it in this series. There's rich imagery. Maybe you can imagine a lion with its prey in its mouth as it's sort of convulsing and shaking in its last few seconds of life. The enemy was fierce and ready to attack. If the Lord hadn't been on their side, a flood would have engulfed them. It would have swept over the top. Now we know in the Old Testament, floods and waters, they were images of almost chaos and destruction was about to occur. The psalmist uses it here again. life-threatening danger. Most of us know that image from Japan. And we know that floods, when they come in, they smash everything. They don't just take people and life. They destroy everything, don't they? Homes and parks and all sorts of stuff. They destroy. It's enormous damage. And friends, this is what David's talking about. This is what might have happened to Israel. Destroyed, flood, bang, all over. The small Jewish state, never to be remembered. Friends, the Israelites, if you know your Old Testament, but mate, danger was around every corner. Everywhere they went, danger looming, ready to take them, ready to capture them. And the under 13 leopards, mate, they were in danger. We were in big trouble, 30 points down at halftime. The cougars were ready to swallow us alive. And they were ready to sweep us away. But enter Big Barry. You see, Barry, he would have driven from his game. Or he probably did drive, actually. No, he didn't. It would have been his parents driving him. He would have had a shave before he got out. And I just remember when he got out of the car and the look on the opposition coach's face. Oh, no. Big Barry, 6'2". Out he comes. The cougars, their shoulders dropped. Oh, we grew about an inch. We were now 4'7". You know, we'd grown. We were ready to go. And Barry, mate, he got into the ruck. He started tapping it. He started splitting packs. Started kicking goals. And mate, three-quarter time, we're only 15 points down. 15 points, still a lot in junior footy. But there was Barry kicking him from 50. That's probably half the ground, junior footy. He was just dominating. First goal of the fourth quarter went to the Cougars, back down to 21 points. But no, we were going to win that. We were fired up, and Barry led from the front, and we overran him. And we won the game. We won it by 2 goals. The premiership was ours. We'd been lifted, and we'd won. We'd escaped. We'd escaped the foulest snare, and the coveted under 13 premiership was ours. Thanks to big, bustling Barry, the snare had been broken. It had been broken, and we had escaped. And praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, this is what happened to the Israelites. They were not torn by their enemy's teeth like the threat that might have happened. The snare had been broken, and because their help lay in the name of the Lord, who's the maker of heaven and earth, they escaped. The Lord had promised Israel. He promised them that he was always going to be with them. He'd never leave them. He was actually going to increase them in number. He was going to make them a great nation. And he didn't renege on his word. And he wouldn't let them down, for he is the maker of heaven and earth. So you can't lose when you've got him on your side. You can't lose when you've got the maker of heaven and earth on your team. And so, friends, when we just reflect back now on this psalm, it says two big things. The first half of it, from verse 1 to 5, it's about what might have happened. Destruction. Chaos wiped away. But the second half is about the Lord, the one who rescues, the deliverer. Now, it's a good psalm. It's a good psalm, this. It's a victory psalm. But what relevance? What relevance does it have for us this morning? Friends, although this psalm is entrenched in Israelite history, how do we take these words from God's word, from his book, and how do they speak to us this morning, right here at Deep Creek Church, so we can be strengthened? How do we take God's living and active word and apply it to today? How is he ministering to us through this psalm? Well, I think a few ways. But I had a clue this week. I look forward into the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we see that the Psalms are used by writers over and over and over again in practical situations, in real church ministries, to minister to people. over and over again. Paul wrote, he wrote a chunk of the New Testament, and he wrote, he reflected on Psalms something like about 24 times. He used Psalms to minister to the people in real life situations. And in Romans 3, which is one of the most famous sort of chapters, I think, in the whole Bible, what's ever been written, he alone quotes the Psalms 7 times in Romans 3 alone. And he uses it in a real ministry context, in a real church situation where the Roman church, they weren't quite sure how these whole Jewish and Gentile thing came together, and now that they've got this new Christianity thing, how did it work? And Paul teaches them about that, but overarching the whole thing, he teaches them what does it mean to follow Jesus. And he says it's not by your good works that you're saved, but it's through the creator of heaven and earth who saves you. You're not saved by your good works. It's through faith in him, through his son, the Lord Jesus, and he gives you his Holy Spirit to help you to do the good works that he has got for each one of us. And so, what is it in this psalm? What is it in this psalm? Well, what is it in the psalms in general that resonates so deeply with these writers, with the Jewish people, with Jesus himself and his disciples? And how do we capture that? Well, the psalms were woven in and out of people's lives. They were used in everyday situations. And so the psalms can be today woven into our lives. Now, the psalms are not one-dimensional at all, but they address God's enduring theme, his story, God's story, the story of deliverance. And we can read them this morning and read it into our lives. And that's what we've been trying to do when we've been going through this series on talking back to God. We've been trying to open our hearts and have him speaking to our hearts in a way that we normally may not ever have, to know him. I personally, I felt ministered to through this psalm series. I don't know about you, but in a time of unsettledness for many, a time of mourning for many, a time of reflection for most of us, now we here at Deep Creek have read his word and we've spoken back to him. And it's time that we opened our ears and listened to him as he speaks back clearly and loudly to us today in Psalm 124. See, David worshipped the same God as us. And we come face to face with him this morning. The maker of heaven and earth. And yes, there's been times in our lives, in your lives, when you just felt like you are being swept away. Floods sweeping your way. And this week, when I was taking notes for this sermon, as a matter of fact, I looked at the pen I was using, and it's a Deep Creek pen. I wasn't here when you celebrated 200 years. Not 200 years, that'd be a long 100 years of serving here at Deep Creek. It says Deep Creek, 100 years. 100 years, Deep Creek, serving for eternity. 100 years. Friends, this church has been serving for 100 years. And I'm sure there's been times when the doors were nearly closed. I'm sure that's happened. Actually, I know of speaking to people that that was the case. There's a real possibility. When the raging seas were up around the chins of God's people in this place. Different ministries have come and gone at Deep Creek. Different ministers have come and gone and they'll go. But the people have the Lord. Now, the people have the maker of heaven and earth, and he's on our side. Now, he's not a good luck charm around your wrist or a concrete deity in your backyard or a flash car in your driveway or a special job. See, all those things, they can get swept away in life's flood. My friends, we have the maker of heaven and earth. The maker on our side. That's who we have. the Maker is on our side. Throughout the hundred years of this church, the ministry of 100 years, thousands of men and women have come through the doors and been ministered to in this building. People have streamed through. Sometimes, though, I'm sure it's only been a trickle. But people have just, a couple of faithful people who love God have come and gathered in that old hall out there when it was half that size and just prayed. Maybe they just said the Lord's Prayer, men, children and women. Maybe they prayed for a loved one or someone they knew was sick. But sometimes it's been a raging stream, hasn't it? Like when 650 plus people came to thank the Creator of heaven and earth. Just 2 weeks ago for Cheryl McArdle's life. Friends, he has ministered to this church. He's ministered to this church. People have come maybe with great needs to this church. They've come to be ministered to by the heaven maker, by the earth maker. Maybe their marriages have been terrible and they've just come here hoping that the sea is not going to drown them and they're asking him to stop it. Maybe it's men and women and children whose illnesses have turned terminal. Maybe it's men and women who have come here in financial troubles. But friends, men and women and children have come to this church to be ministered to in the last 100 years by the Creator of heaven and earth. And we've worshipped him. Worship's occurred through psalms and through song, through hymns. Oh, there's been baptisms and dedications and thanksgivings. There's been weddings. Thousands of times we've shared the bread and the wine of our Lord. Throughout the history of this church, the Lord of heaven and earth has been on Deep Creek side. Floods have risen and floods have subsided. And the ultimate act of love that God has shown for this church is a free gift. It's of his Son. It's of Jesus. He is the snare smasher. We have escaped. We've escaped the fowler's snare. We've got out of trouble. Just like Paul, when he quotes in Romans 3, he quotes Psalm 14, he says these words, "We have all turned away and there is no one who does good, not even one." We were all in the fowler's snare. We were all in Satan's grip. But the snare smasher has broken the snare. And that's what he does. Jesus smashes the snare. And he smashed it on the cross, and he smashed it in his resurrection. So we can live with him now, and we can see him for who he is for eternity. Friends, floods come in our lives. Floods have nearly drowned Deep Creek. But we have the Maker of heaven and earth, and he's on our side. And that's what he does. He smashes snares. So just like those birds, we can go free. And he calls you today in this psalm. He calls you and he calls me. This is not just words written down for no reason. He's calling you. It's his very word. And the offer is for you to just take it up. It's a great offer. Be freed from the snare. For friends, there is nothing. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus. Let him smash the snare. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He is the maker. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And he always, always, always delivers. And so when the flood is lapping up under the chin, when you know it's there, he never, ever, ever lets you go under. Never. Your life may even be taken by him, but he never lets you go under. You see, Jesus is so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. He's so mighty. He's so powerful. He's so close. He's right here. He's so close. He's so trustworthy. He's so true. He's the snare smasher. So even when your time's up, the snare smasher has smashed death. Smashed it. So you can live with him in paradise forever. We've spoken back to God, haven't we, in this sermon series? And we've been encouraged to do it. I've encouraged you. The other preachers have encouraged you to do it. But can you hear his response this morning? Can you hear him? Can you hear what he said to your heart? This is what he said this morning at Deep Creek through his word. He said this: I've come to rescue you. I'm your deliverer. I'm the snare smasher. Now, he's the rescuer, friends, the deliverer. Now, he's the maker of heaven and earth, and he is on our side. He's on your side. He wants good for you. Let him smash the snare. He's come to rescue. He says, I am the maker of heaven and earth. And friends, he is on our side. Let me pray.